Our scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen thee the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even with God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall there be, and a way shall it be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go there upon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighting shall flee away. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, thank you for this day. You've provided everything we need. And especially, you've given us your word, which sustains, fills, quenches our thirst. Thank you for how you are present here. And it's in the name of Christ our Savior that we pray. Amen. Do you need some? Before Judy and I moved, as I mentioned, to Arizona, we started drinking water, started carrying bottled water. Back in Pennsylvania, we got a few odd looks, like, what are you doing that for? We were preparing ourselves to go out into the desert. And then they said, why do you want to go out into the desert? God called us. Are you sure? Yes, absolutely. And so we traveled. And what we learned whenever we came out here was that there have been an awful lot of changes in Arizona. And we landed in Phoenix. And we landed at a time whenever there was still incredible amounts of building and development that were going on over there. We heard time after time individuals saying, I remember when you could smell the orange blossoms. Anybody from Phoenix or know what I'm talking about? Whenever it wasn't nearly the busy city that it is now. I remember whenever Phoenix stopped at, and then they would say a road. Okay? And that's as far north as it went. I remember whenever Surprise or Goodyear was nothing. Now they're building baseball parks, and sometimes, in some ways, it's even more rapidly growing than Phoenix. In the desert, to be able to look at the desert and see something else there, a possibility. I remember when the foothills didn't even exist. Let's get closer to home. Somebody looking at a bunch of sand and saying, hey, let's build a town there. Let's develop something. Let's put in roads, services. People will come. If you build it, people will come. And come. And come. I'm really glad you're sitting there right there today. Thank you. The desert. There are possibilities. The desert, there is life there. And in our scripture passage today, the desert takes a primary place of imagination, of consideration for the people of God. I know whenever I started doing some hiking and walking on the trails, it was amazing to me at different times of year to be able to come upon color in the desert, flowers blooming, all sorts of colors, and really beautiful. In fact, I took pictures of it to be able to send to my relatives back east that didn't believe me that there is actually blooms in the desert, and they were quite beautiful. The possibilities of something coming out of a dryness and an arid kind of climate is something that gives the people of God hope. And this is the reason. The desert stands for the dryness, the arid conditions, the thirst that the people of God have in their hearts for more of God. That's why it's good to hear that in the desert, new life can spring forth, isn't it? That means, where else can new life spring forth? Right here. Starting with each and every one of us. When the Messiah comes, the deserts will bloom. Say that along with me. When the Messiah comes, the deserts will bloom. Wow. Really? Yes, really. It's true. The people of God had been looking for a Messiah, had been waiting. And they had gone through an awful lot. The people were now in captivity. The people that Isaiah was speaking to. The capital city had been incinerated. Their religious temple had been destroyed. Their sons had been killed. Their king had been blinded by the enemy. Their cities and farms had been burned, and they had been in captivity for nearly 50 years. The people were feeling burnt and brown and broken down. It was then that the prophet Isaiah wrote those incredible words that we just shared. When the Messiah comes, your desert will bloom. The prophet said, I will make your wilderness a pool of water, and your dry land I will make into springs of water. I will put trees in your desert, the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle wood. I will plant trees in her desert, and I will make her desert like a garden of Eden, and her wilderness will be like the garden of the Lord. So shall it be when the Messiah comes. When the Messiah comes, your deserts will begin to bloom once again. You know, life can be like that. Not only when we read it for people that lived hundreds of years ago, but also for people to live in 2010. Life can be like a desert, burnt and brown, when we experience the death of a loved one. Life can be very dried up. There's a story of a younger woman who went to visit an older woman, an Alzheimer's patient in a care facility. The woman came in and said, "How are you?" And there was a long pause by the older woman. "Just fine," she responded. A long silence. 5 minutes of silence. Have you ever tried to just go 5 minutes? People think that whenever I take 30 seconds in our time of prayer, it's long. The older woman asks, where did the leaves go? This is in an area of the country where leaves change. The younger woman responds, it's fall, the leaves have all fallen. There's another long silence. For 2 hours, the movement of words is ever so slow, punctuated by long periods of silence. The older woman asks, do you have a daughter? The response, yes, my daughter is 12 years old. Do you have any sons? Yes, our boy is 16. Another excruciatingly long period of silence. What is his name? Mark, he's about 6'4". My, he is a tall boy. And these two women talk back and forth with silence and long periods of silence in between. I must be going now, the younger woman says. And the older woman replies, do you live far away? And the younger woman says, yeah, almost 300 miles away. And the two of them went outside to the door, and the older woman is in the wheelchair, pushed by the younger woman. And the older woman says, this has been nice. You are pretty. Come see me again. But, I don't know your name. The younger woman, choking back tears, says, my name is Lorraine. And then for a moment, there was a blinding flash of recognition in the older woman's mind, then shame, then sorrow, then nothing. The younger woman turned and ran to her car, tears streaming down her face, glad that her mother called her pretty. Dryness. Desert times. We can experience that here and now. Only one illustration. I could go on and on, but that's not really the point. We understand that when we experience those desert times, the Messiah has come. And because of those desert times, the dryness, the pain, the hurt, the sorrow, because of those desert times, we are already being ministered to. In our hearts and souls, where there is that dry aridity, that desert, Advent is all about the coming of Christ there. Into the world, certainly, where God would bless and renew and bring forward life where there seems to be only death, but nonetheless, in the dryness of our hearts as well, God comes offering Christ new life and hope. When the Messiah comes, your deserts will bloom once again. The Messiah has come. The Messiah has come. And yet, we can receive him in a whole new way of hope and love in this season. In the New Testament, the Messiah came. Jesus came to earth. And he found all kinds of people whose lives had become like deserts. Jesus helped those people to have a blooming in their lives again, to have renewal in their lives once again. The prostitute. She was a woman whose life was a desert for her, as is true for all of those past and present who are engaged in that form of modern-day slavery. The prostitute heard his words, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more," and Jesus healed her. Well, the story of the prodigal son, you remember that one. The prodigal son had gone to the far country, and his life was a total mess. His life had become a wilderness, a desert, parched and brown, dead. He came to his senses and finally back to his father, who put a ring on his finger and a coat on his back and killed the best animal for a grand celebration. Suddenly the prodigal son was the celebrated son, and his life was blooming once again. Or the woman who had five divorces, five epochs of her life at the worst, and Jesus came to save her and to help her. Or the centurion whose son was falling into a fire with epileptic seizures, or Zacchaeus the crook, or Matthew the tax collector. Do you understand? The Messiah comes into all of those lives just as he has come into our lives to allow blooming to happen once again. So my friends, if you have come here today with any sense of dryness in your life, if you have come here today with any sense of brokenness, if you have come here today needing any touch of healing, God receives you, sends that Messiah into your heart once again, and in that desert, because the Messiah has come, there will be blooming once again. How did he do that, Jesus? How is it that he works the miracle and helps the deserts bloom? It always begins with water. It always begins with water. Sometimes it's a little sip of that living water. Am I making you thirsty? Sorry. Just a little sip of that living water. And then you take a little bit more. I'm not going to do what I did earlier. Some of you are just staring at me like, is he going to do it again? You know why I'm not going to do it again? Actually, because it talks about the living water just washing over us. I'm not going to pour that over my head. But that's how it works. That really is how it works. The water, that living water of Christ, starts surging through us. It's something that not only quenches, but replenishes and brings new life. To drink the living water is to have the Spirit of God come and live within you. To drink the living water of Christ is to have the living water of God, the Spirit of God, come and dwell in you. And that, my friends, is the most important thing that could ever happen in our lives. With living water, with a bit of imagination, thinking that there are possibilities, with hard work, with patience, we're able to see more readily the miracles that happen all around us. How God is working miracles in the most commonplace environment, even in the desert, when we can see the bloom of new life. It takes us to be open. It takes us to simply allow God to lead rather than to be about our own agenda. You probably have some lists. Maybe there are some naughty people, some good people on your list as well. Don't elbow the person next to you. But it's not about your agenda. It's about following God's plan for your life. And when you're willing to do that, I want you folks over here to hear this too. When it's not about your agenda and you're willing to do that, okay, and really trust and then follow where he leads, you will be able to see the miraculous blooming of God's grace all around you in ways that you never thought possible. What's one of the things that is said here that happens whenever the deserts bloom? A physical manifestation of God's Holy Spirit that takes place whenever the deserts bloom. Did you hear that? One of our brothers said it. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. In Matthew, John sends words to the Messiah, the one who has brought forth blooming. Are you the one who is to come? And Jesus answered, go and tell John what you see and hear. These words should sound familiar. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. The advent, the coming of Christ, the rebirthing of Christ in our hearts is what is taking place right now if we are open to it. For that dryness in your heart and soul and mind, for the desert landscape that is inside of you, that is part of you, for whatever reason, the Messiah has come. Let your desert bloom. In these moments of discipleship, I want you to take, and just take this opportunity to be open to a blooming in your desert. We understand the real desert, but there's an even more powerful desert that can be growing inside of us, spreading. For those areas, today especially, simply say, Lord, I'm open to you. Father, there's this desert time. There's this desert challenge. There's this brokenness. There's this dryness that only the living waters of Christ can ever wash over and replenish. Are you seeking a blooming in the desert in your life? If you are, and you believe that God can do all things, and He can, including miracles, take these next few moments with me right now to be replenished by the living water of Christ, to be filled by God's Holy Spirit, to know once again that you are loved more than you can imagine. Allow the blooming in your desert right now. Join with me in prayer.